This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And again, we're live at Capital One Arena ahead of the Wizards season opener tonight and their head coach, Brian Keefe. You'll hear my conversation with him coming up at 5:30. GM Will Dawkins at 6:30. Right now, though, one of my favorite times of the week, it's time to bring in our pal Dan Pizzuta from the 33rd team for Not My Beat. Of course, Dan, one of the writers for the 33rd team, joining us here on the show. Pizzuta, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Excited to be sitting in a basketball arena talking football. That is the silly nature of the job that I do, but here we are. And talking to you about Marcus Mariota and the things that, you know, we all dreamed about doing. When you watched the game back last week and you saw Marcus lead this Commanders offense against a Panthers defense that is obviously very banged up and only so good to begin with, how much of what you saw you think is repeatable against the Bears and moving forward versus things that he kind of got away with if we're going to give Commanders fans a reality check on that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it was a fairly impressive performance. I think the offense did a lot of good things to kind of open up some stuff for him. I think there's going to be, you're not going to expect Marcus Mariota to, if he has to, you know, continue to play over, you know, multiple weeks, which, you know, hopefully for Washington he doesn't, you're not going to expect him to continue to be one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league. So I think there just is some of that that just kind of naturally you would expect would not go quite as well, especially if he does have to play this week, going from a Carolina defense that, like you said, has not been very good at stopping anyone to a Chicago defense that has been very good at stopping just about everyone they've played so far. But I think they did a lot of good things. There was, you know, a lot of the, you know, kind of open spread stuff that we saw earlier in the season. I think there were a lot of, you know, good open down the field throws that he just kind of made a pretty good throw. A couple of times he was in empty about 31% of his dropbacks, which I think was just a way to get everything spread out, give him very easy kind of checks at the line to see what the defense is going to be doing. So there were a lot of just kind of different ways. There was a lot of good from him specifically, but there was still a lot of good from the offense that just kind of, I think, made some things easier for him.
So when you've studied Marcus in the past, you think back to what he did in Atlanta. Like, that was a very up-and-down season. What are the things that you would define as Marcus Mariota does well? And then what are the areas that, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're trying to game plan around so that you can avoid him having to do these things, X, Y, and Z?
Yeah, the Marcus Mariota experience in Atlanta was strange. He was just, like, missing open throws just all the time, and that was, like, just kind of really frustrating. And I don't really know if there was a concrete reason for why it was. Just some of that accuracy and trust, I guess, in that offense just wasn't there. I think we kind of already saw having him, you know, in empty a little bit, letting him, you know, run just a little more. He had a slightly, you know, smaller scramble rate, but he was able to I think he had a couple of designed runs that just kind of helped him, I think, get in the groove. So I think just having some better skill positions, having that run game to lean on a little bit. And again, I think that those empty formations, I think, did really help him, where he didn't have to do a lot of work pre-snap because everything was so spread out. He was kind of able to figure out where that open receiver was going to be. So I think it's like just kind of those are things, getting him in the rhythm of an offense, which I think they did very good at, you know, once he came in. I think that is definitely going to help him, you know, continue to play pretty well going forward.
Dan Pizzuta, 33rd team, with us for his weekly visit here on the Team 980. The Chicago defense has not given up 21 points in 12 straight games. That is very impressive, no matter who the opponents are. But, Dan, when you watch them, is that like truly who they are in terms of caliber of defense, or does that have to do with the fact that they've played the Panthers, the Jags, the Titans, and some of the NFL's worst offenses, or at least in the Jags' case, most inconsistent offenses in 2024 on the back half of that streak?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. I would still say they're one of the better defenses in the league, and one of the things that I think they're really good at is I think they're just technically sound, kind of just everywhere, and that is something that I think even if, you know, they're not going to play up to be a top five defense a lot, there's not going to be a lot of, like, blown plays that they're, like, playing not well. I think they have great linebacker play at that second level with all of those guys. They have, like, three guys they can really rely on to play well. The cornerbacks are playing really well. Jalen Johnson has repeatedly been one of the best corners in the league. After the season he had last year, he is repeating that this year, and that's very tough to do just kind of individually for a cornerback, because we kind of see play there can be up and down. I think they're just always put in a very good position, and then they have guys who are able to take advantage of any mistake that the offense makes. So they're pretty high in the turnover rate, which, you know, is not something that is normally sustainable, but I think the way they play, the way they're kind of taught to attack the ball, and just their style of play does allow that to be a little more sustainable than it would be for other defenses that are kind of relying on turnovers. But just kind of the way they are just technically sound. There's not a lot of ways you can really just, you know, make them make mistakes, which I think is a good thing for a defense, and kind of the way you're able to sustain a high level of play regardless of the opponent.
So if you want some wide variance, you flip the other side of the ball and you have a Bears offense that's done a little bit of everything this year, and you have a Commanders defense that's done a little bit of everything this year. How have you seen the Chicago offense evolve to better support Caleb Williams as it's gone? And obviously, again, the last couple weeks, in many ways we're having the same conversations about the Commanders as they are in Chicago. Like, what exactly do we make of this considering the opponents? They were playing Jacksonville, they were playing Carolina, but what do we make of the turn before the bye for the better for Caleb Williams?
Yeah, he's a guy, like, it kind of in the same sense as Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels started at a higher level in, like, week one and has gotten better and shown something different every week. It's the same thing for Caleb Williams. Just the first 2 weeks were a little rocky, so the improvement has been gradual, and it's not at the same plane, I think, that Jaden Daniels was. But Caleb Williams has gotten better every week at something, and it's really been impressive to see. I think they've really kind of figured out what that offense needs to be. I think, you know, when you look at Washington offense, they had a plan and, you know, slowly rolled some more things out. I think for Chicago, they just didn't really know exactly what they wanted to do with the quarterback, how they were going to protect him with the offensive line, how to use all their skill position players. I think they've definitely gotten into a groove a little bit over the past few weeks, and he has more control of that offense. He's doing really well in the quick game. That's probably been one of his best areas right now. So when they're, you know, getting the ball out quick, getting the short passes, he has been super accurate, super decisive, and that's how they've kind of moved the ball really well. He has a couple of the wild, you know, Caleb Williams throws about, you know, once or twice a game. Those are hitting at a higher rate than they were at the beginning of the season. But then you kind of look at some of his, you know, deep passing, still isn't quite there at the consistency you would have hoped. But I think that's actually going to be a positive for Chicago, you know, going forward, because I think eventually those are going to hit. But right now, if you are kind of going to force Williams into a mistake, it's kind of still getting that pressure a little bit, forcing him to throw deep. That's still just the part of the game that hasn't completely come together yet for him. But everything else is just real. It's getting better every week. It's really, really fun to watch.
So that was going to be my question as we wrap up here, Dan. And we tossed this around on our show this morning, the podcast that I do with Logan Paulson, Take Command. Is Logan initially was like, you know, I would probably be pretty, or I would potentially be really conservative in my coverage structures and try to make them run the football and all that. But because Caleb has struggled so much with the deep ball, do you almost want to tempt them into that? Now, that is a high wire act if you're Washington, considering the weapons they have on the outside. But would you, like, how much risk would you be encouraging Chicago to take if you're Washington, with if you're Joe Witt specifically, and how you call this game?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way to do it, because I still think some of the, you know, the ways we've kind of seen them struggle is some of the interior pressure when you can push him outside the pocket, kind of force him to make some of those deeper throws on the run. So I would be encouraging that. And, you know, you might lose in a way where those throws are going to beat you. But I think I'm at a point right now with seeing, like, where he is developmentally. You know, I would like to see him beat me like that. I would like to force him to make those throws, because we just haven't seen it at a consistent level. If I'm going to let him kind of sit back, just kind of have not a lot of pressure in his face, and he's able to just kind of make the right decision and fire off in quick game, I've seen him win that way already. So I know he can do that. If I can force him to kind of play hero ball a little bit, and that's kind of, you know, when he was coming into the league, that was one of the concerns. How often is he going to kind of default to trying to do a little too much? So that would be my way of trying to force him to play a little uncomfortably and try to, you know, force some things down the field. And I think you can get that high variance a little bit, but that's probably where more of the negatives are going to come from than they have been when he's really been in control the past few weeks.
Dan Pizzuta, 33rd Team. You can read more of his work there. Actually, you can read all of his work there. Just go to the 33rd Team, from the quarterback rankings to the first and 10 column every week. Dan's always producing great stuff, and he joins us Thursdays here on The Hoffman Show. Dan, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good.
That is Dan Pizzuta, everybody. When we get back, I have an NBA-themed surprise for Anthony Haney before you hear from Wizards head coach Brian Keefe at 5:30 here on your home for Wizards basketball on opening night. 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip against the Celtics. It's the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, and we're live at Capital One Arena, where the Wizards will take on the Celtics tonight. It is the season opener for Washington. Of course, Boston's 1-0, and it's a new NBA season. And Anthony, as you sit there and chew on your Snickers, I thought perhaps we should partake in a NBA season opening traditions. When you think of the start of the NBA season, what do you think of?
I think about rings. You know, it's usually ring night for
I don't have a ring or any championship banners for you. Sorry, it's not what I'm going for.
You asked me what I think of.
I'm getting to the thing that we're going to do. Thank you for thinking of that. The Celtics very much appreciate you, but that's not the thing I'm looking for.
Maybe basketball?
Yes, Anthony. At the beginning, we're not going to play basketball. That's not what we're going for here.
Does it have to do with a wardrobe? Like what
does
you
not
wear?
Have to do with wardrobe?
Am I just
what
all
if I
over
told
the
you,
place?
What if I told you it was a TV something?
It's something. Okay. Something like a Shacked and a Fool or
yeah, NBA, now you're on the right track.
Okay.
There's a little game that they play with Charles Barkley at the beginning of every season, and I thought imitation's the highest form of flattery. So, Anthony, when CBS Sports put out an Instagram post of NBA players you may not remember switching teams, I thought it's a perfect opportunity for us to play who he play for.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah. All right. I feel like the first one's pretty easy. So I got thanks to the folks at CBS Sports for making this easy, giving me all the answers and making me not have to search for any of this. But this is going to be high quality funsies on the radio.
Who he
Anthony,
play for?
Anthony is going to play a game of who he play for. Shout out to the legendary Inside the NBA entering its final season this year, at least on TNT, before the NBA moves to NBC next year. But Anthony, the first one in our 2024 edition of who he play for is Chris Paul.
That's easy. The Spurs.
Okay. We're just warming up.
Okay.
Honestly,
hey, look, let's get it.
That's one that I knew. The rest of these, I don't know how well I would have done.
Oof.
But we got nine more on the swipe. So take your time, but also don't. You know, we got Brian Keefe coming up at 5:30.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, former Wizard, former Knick, former Bull, Taj Gibson. Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson is still in the league?
That's what I would have said. If you had asked me Taj Gibson, who he played for, my answer would have been nobody. He's on a beach somewhere. With all due respect.
Will he even play? Like, will he be in the rotation?
I don't know. I'll give you this much. For this team, I don't know their rotation.
All right, the Trailblazers.
No, that is not correct. That's the Charlotte Hornets. There's Taj
I just
Gibson
watched him yesterday. I did not see him on the bench. I know he wasn't in the game.
Per this CBS Sports post an hour ago, he is on.
Wow.
He's on the Charlotte Hornets.
Okay. So what am I? One for two?
You're one for two.
Okay.
All right. Next up.
What is a passing grade?
Honestly, if you get like three, I'd be impressed.
All right, let's go.
Let's see. I'm still as I scroll through here. No, you're gonna need to get. If you get five,
okay,
that's a passing grade considering the list here.
All right.
Because there's a couple that definitely you should know. There's one. I'm going to leave it there. Dougie McBuckets. Doug McDermott. Where is Doug McDermott playing his basketball in 2024 in the National Basketball Association, Anthony?
I'm going to guess the Magic.
That is incorrect.
Ah.
He's on the Sacramento Kings, which somehow feels right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because didn't Kevin Huerter leave, or is Kevin Huerter still at the Kinks?
I think he's still there, the Red Rocket.
Yeah. How many white guys do they need to shoot the basketball?
It's a great question.
Apparently,
never have too many.
One more. That's what Anthony said. Okay.
Hey, mate, let's get the Australians in here. Let's go Patty Mills. Where is Patty Mills playing his NBA basketball in 2024?
Patty, ooh, I know this one.
Do you?
Yes. The Nets.
That is not
all right,
correct.
Hold on. The Hawks.
No, it is also not correct, Anthony.
Oh, my gosh.
And Patty Mills, he's fallen in his old mate, Australian mate's footsteps. The land of Dante Exum's drafting. He's a Utah Jazz member.
He's with the Jazz? Oh, my gosh.
That's what it says.
This is insane.
All right.
I'm 1 for 3.
You're honoring Chuck in the best way that you can. Buddy Hield. Where is Buddy Hield in 2024?
Buddy is with the Warriors.
That is correct. All right. Buddy Hield with the Warriors in 2024. Finally, they got some more shooting, which leads us to the guy that departed. This is getting a little easier. Where is Klay Thompson playing his basketball in 2024?
Klay Thompson is with the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, bonus point. I'm not actually going to give you a bonus here because we're going straight score. But for for your own feelings, what number is Klay Thompson wearing in 2024?
He is wearing 11.
No,
he's not, because Kyrie is 11. He's wearing 3?
He's wearing 31, and it looks really weird.
Ew, that's disgusting.
Yeah, 31's a gross basketball number.
Yeah, unless you're Sean Marion. He made it look cool.
Yeah, the Matrix did. Which, by the way, ironically, how is he wearing 31 in Dallas? I don't know. All right. Russell Westbrook was an offseason trade. Where did he wind up?
Russell Westbrook is with the Nuggets. Come on, man.
That is correct.
I got 4 right.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, you should get 5 here.
Okay.
That's one of the ones that you should definitely get. Yep. And then if you can get some of the wild cards at the end, then you're doing really great. But there's one more that you 100% should get.
Okay.
And that guy is Malcolm Brogdon.
Oh, he's with the Wizards.
That is correct. Malcolm Brogdon's here. And he's on the show right now. No, I'm just kidding. He's not. That would have been really funny. That would have been really funny if Malcolm was just popping in saying what's up. He's hurt, though, to start the season. That kind of sucks. Or at least he was in the preseason. I'm pretty sure he's out for a while. So Malcolm Brogdon, who doesn't, I got to say, in this photo, Anthony, he does not look thrilled to be here.
Now he's meme mugging.
Yeah, that's all right. And Malcolm Brogdon, Wizard. Okay, next up. Shooter Gary Trent Jr. Where is Gary Trent Jr. in 2024?
So he was on the TV screen yesterday.
He was on the TV screen yesterday in one of the national games. The question is, which team was he playing for?
I think he was. Oh, I'm going to be so mad if I get this wrong. I think he was with the Bucks.
That is correct. Anthony Haney has won the game, everybody.
He was with
the
Bucks.
Nice job.
Oh, my God.
Nice job. All right, last one. I wish we had the song ready, but if I told you the song, you would have known the player. Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba. What team is this guy on? That's a great question, Craig. He is on.
He was also. I'm going to give you a hint, Chet.
Well, you already did. He was on.
He was on TV last night. At least his team was.
The Sixers.
That is incorrect.
Atlanta Hawks.
His new home is the Intuit Dome.
Oh, the Clippers?
That is correct. He is on the Clippers.
Man, that was hard, dude.
It is crazy because there's so much time between the off-season transaction window and when the season starts.
Yeah.
And unlike training camp in the NFL, which we cover incessantly, the NBA season, there's been preseason happening. If you're an NBA junkie and you're super locked in, you could have been watching basketball the last month. But for most of us who are even NBA fans, we just kind of wake up today and we're like, oh, there's the season.
Yeah.
And then dudes are out there running around. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy went there.
Yep.
It's just there's a lot of movement, which is why, it's one thing. This has always been my thing. Like, the Chuckster dude playing who he played for is hilarious because he's Charles Barkley. There is a small part of me that's like, dude, your job is to cover the NBA.
Yeah, you should know.
And you're just like, hey, if I had to cover one thing, I got, you realize how many rosters are in my head? You know how many Anthony, you know how many things I've done today?
A lot.
I did, let's see. I did Take Command this morning, and then I did my personal training as slash fitness podcast, so that's not even sports. I did that, and then I did our NWSL show, so the Women's Soccer League, and then we did, or I taped something with a Chicago Bears podcast, so Commander's brain back on. Now I'm doing this show, which is part Commanders, part Wizards, part NFL, part NBA, etc. I've been doing WNBA stuff the past couple days. Yeah, there's I would love to cover one league.
Yeah.
What, you know, it's probably better if Chuck doesn't study and just kind of lets it happen. What if Charles just studied his face off? What if Charles showed up tonight on the TNT set and they played Who We Play For and he just absolutely crushed it?
I don't think the show would be as good.
I mean, that would be one way to do it. Be like, this is the last time I'm going to play this stupid game and I'm going to go out with a bang. He probably won't.
True.
Charles would rather play golf. But you know what? If he does play Who We Play For, pretty good chance you'll hear it in Real Things tomorrow, and Anthony can get revenge on me.
Yes.
So there's that. All right. That was in homage to Inside the NBA, Who We Play For. Anthony won the game. Congratulations, Anthony. You win pride.
I needed that because I'm not going to lie. After missing three straight, I started to get down on myself.
But you're a smart man.
Yes.
You proved it to everybody. You know who else is a smart man? Brian Keefe. He's the head coach of the Washington Wizards, and you'll hear our chat next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're broadcasting live from Capital One Arena, where tonight the Wizards will open their season. And, oh, my God, we are less than 100 minutes from tip-off because the clock is running. 91, 53, 52, 51. Okay, well, you know what's better than me counting down a clock that I can see through the tunnel here at Cap One? How about a one-on-one conversation with the head coach? Sat down with Brian Keefe on Media Day, chatted about all kinds of different things. They just had a coach's clinic that was really cool that you'll hear him talk about, some things that he's picked up, and then obviously what's it like to be permanently in that big-time chair for the first time. Me, BK, one-on-one, now here on The Hoffman Show. Continuing our coverage of Wizards Media Day here on the Team 980 live from Capital One Arena with the head coach, Brian Keefe. Fresh off your first ever coach's clinic as a head coach of the Wizards. You did this weekend. Very cool event, I heard, with different coaches from around the area, college coaches, and then obviously you guys welcome in a bunch of coaches from all levels to teach. So I'm curious, for you, being around all that coaching knowledge, was there anything that you took away that you learned amidst all the teaching that you did this weekend?
Oh, yeah, tremendous. First of all, that was our first annual coaches clinic. We came up with this idea this summer about how do we give back to the community. You know, this is such a rich place for basketball, rich history of great players, but also great coaches. So we really wanted to engage the community, the DMV, in terms of coaching. So Coach Cooley, Coach Simpkins, Coach Blakeney from Howard all came over, and we all had a different segment. So yeah, you're always learning. That's part of this. Like, I'm a curious person, so I learned from those. But then there were some great questions from all the people in the stands. I think we had about 150 people there, and they had some good stuff that stimulated thought for me. And that was kind of the purpose of all that, is to share the game. This game has given us all a lot, and how can we give back and share and learn and grow from each other?
So what was something that you learned or that you've been thinking about, at least that part?
There were some good offensive rebounding ideas, some different concepts on defense, some drills that people were talking about. So, yeah, there was always a little nugget. And that was the purpose. Like, can there be something that fits for all of us?
Yeah.
And there was for me. I won't give them away because they were pretty good stuff.
There's always, when you learn something new, there's always a chance of recency bias, but especially if you have good institutional knowledge of something, you've been doing something that's working. You get something that's fresh, and you're like, oh, but what if I did that? And then you have to fight the urge to just change for the sake of change. How do you try to fight that recency bias as you have all these new ideas ruminating on the verge of a new endeavor for you as a head coach going through your first training camp as a head coach? Obviously, you had the interim experience last year.
I think you just always got to be authentic to who you are. I think that's good to stimulate thought, growth. What do you think is going to work for you? But you always got to go back to, okay, does this fit what we need, what we're doing? But I do like that you got to stretch yourself. We're asking our players to stretch and grow. We got to grow as coaches. So that's something we're very focused on.
So one of the difficult balances that any coach has in any walk of life, but that you specifically are going to have this year, is you have a very high standard. You have a way that you guys want to do things as a head coach, as an organization. But players also need some level of autonomy to feel that they have control over things. That's how you maximize human performance, obviously. How do you, especially in a rebuilding environment where you want to get things done a very set way, balance that as a head coach?
First of all, I think, you know, there's a shared standard, like you talked about, how we're going to try to operate on a day-to-day basis. But we also realize that we have a lot of guys who are growing in their games and growing in their careers. And it's not just our young emerging players. It's our older guys. So we want to put our guys in position to try things that are going to stretch them. I think that's how you build something. And we want to build something, I think I've talked about this a lot, that's sustainable, that's going to be pressure tested. So we're going to find out and put these guys in different things, see what they can handle, play them in different positions, see certain guys handle the ball in different ways they never did in the past. I think those are the things we're looking for this year.
You talk about stretching yourself. What's something that you are nervous about? What's something that you're very confident in? Maybe the most nervous about, the most confident in?
I'm not like an overly nervous person. The thing I look at is challenging. And challenge is a word that I like to use because I think that builds an excitement. So like, you know, we're about to embark on a journey as our group. We're going to set some standards of how we're going to operate. To me, that's a challenge. How we're going to build this on a day-to-day basis. So to me, when you say challenge, that builds excitement. So I'm not nervous. It's not a word for me. It's more of like, hey, the excitement of the journey, the challenge to build something, that gets my juices flowing in the morning for sure.
All right, I'm going to skip ahead on my question list here because that does speak to one of the things I think is most fascinating in your chair. You have this very long vision as an organization where there is a de-emphasis from the front office's perspective on wins and losses, but you're living it every day. You ride the emotions of the game. You're in it. It's your job, quite literally, to try to win every game, every night, find the best ways to do that. So how do you, you know, you're a part of also this vision. They've chosen you to be the guy to guide this on the floor. So how do you kind of, I don't know, insulate the right word, prepare, whatever that word is emotionally to give it your all every single night in an effort to win while also doing that within context of the larger vision?
I think the one thing is that we're all totally aligned on how to go about this. We're totally into the process of how to win and how to build something sustainable. We don't want to cut any corners. So my responsibility on our end is not to cut corners, to build it step by step, brick by brick. I love that because that's going to build something sustainable. Yeah, you might sneak in a win in here if you try to maybe do it the wrong way, but that's not going to be something that's going to be long lasting. That's something that's going to build something, that builds something when we really push the gas that we're ready to go. So the alignment of ownership down to Michael, Will, and myself, we know the process. My responsibility is to ensure the standards on a day-to-day basis, and I love that.
But is that ever hard? Like, let's say in the moment, right, you know you have minutes, you know, kind of you've got a plan for how you want to play guys, and you know, if I put my vet or I put my star back in a few minutes early, like, that's going to help our chances to win tonight. Is that ever hard in the emotion of a game when it's close and you're like, you're making those in-game decisions that every coach has to make?
Look, we're competitors. We want to win, so we're going to put ourselves in the best positions to be successful. So that's part of building it the right way. Mm. So to me, it's this, we're competitors. How are we going to do that? How are we going to build that over the long terms is something that we can build sustainable. That's the challenge. I'm excited about the challenge. I think it's exciting.
One thing that has changed over your 16, I believe, years in the NBA?
Maybe a little bit longer. I don't know the exact number, but okay. A little longer, I think.
If that's wrong, Basketball Reference, please update your Brian Keefe page, because I just need to count better, which is, look, Brian, I doubt you listen to a lot of sports talk radio, but if you listen to our show and you want to hear some bad math, we're the right place for you.
Yeah, all right.
But one thing that's changed over the last two decades of NBA basketball is the structure of the schedule, and part of that is kind of this every other day rhythm.
Yep.
How has coaching, especially in season, changed, and I would assume become harder as practice time has become rarer and rarer during the season?
Well, the one thing that's great is that we all play under the same rules, right? So everybody's got the same type of schedule. So to me, I never look at it as like a woe is me. It's like, okay, how do we best use the schedule to coach and teach? I think there's opportunities to do that in so many different ways than just normal everyday practice. So we're going to maximize every opportunity to grow. That could be collectively, that could be film, that could be individual work, that could be individual film. We look at those all as opportunities to grow. So the schedule is the schedule. We all have the same one. Could be different a little bit just because of travel, where you're located, but we all play 82 games. That's the reality of it. So it's how you best maximize your time.
I know you spent some time this offseason trying to think about how you wanted to play schematically, and I don't expect you to then sit here and tell me all of the answers that you came up with. But what was your process in determining, all right, we want to do X, Y, Z. These are the players that at times we want the ball to run through, or whatever answers you wound up on. What was the process to get there?
I think you're always looking to see what translates to winning, what wins at the highest level. That's playoff basketball. That's deep playoffs basketball. So there's always a study of that. And then it's once your roster kind of becomes set, okay, how do we best utilize this group? Who needs to grow? What are they going to look like in a few years if they develop these certain skills? I think there's a little bit of a experimentation, innovation with that too as you go forward. We want to see what works, how these guys can grow, what different positions they're in. But the philosophical things, like the bedrock stuff, is probably going to still be the same. We want to defend at a high level. We want to play fast and share the ball. But how do we do that? How we go about that? I think that you're always evaluating on a day-to-day basis once you have your roster and then once you get into the season.
With that, every experiment needs time to play out. You can't be like, all right, let's try this. Okay, we got one result. Now let's try something else. Because otherwise you never get to see how things stick. Obviously, right. Chemistry never grows. How do you think about that balance of how long you give, whether it's a scheme, a rotation, a pairing, or a trio of players getting minutes together, all those things?
Again, I think you already answered the question. You can't just do those things as one-offs. You got to invest some time.
I know the bottom end. I'm asking you, like, how long does it ultimately have? No one-offs is easy. You should move the ball. Okay, that's cool. But, like, what's the structure in which that happens? So what's kind of the – does it need 5 games, 10 games? Is there a non-numerical measure of it?
I think there's a little bit of a feel to that. It's obviously not one. It's probably not two. But there's obviously a feel. It's probably – you got to invest in things and see if they are going to stick while still sticking to your core principles. I think those are the ones that eventually rue the day, and those are the ones that push you along. But can there be something that you find out about your team? I think there's always time for that, and we're going to find that during the year.
It's Brian Keefe, everybody, head coach of the Wizards. Training camp getting going tomorrow. Season, of course, in just a few weeks, and every game here on the Team 980, Brian. So we'll be listening and probably watch some on television, too. And if not, be here at Capital One Arena. What a place.
All right. Thanks for having me.
It's Brian Keefe, everybody.
All right, we are here at Capital One Arena. Did that interview with Brian on Media Day, and we got one more to play for you as we empty the clip of Wizards interviews, stuff that we've been holding out on you. I'm not going to even lie. We've been holding out on you. It's because we've been doing a lot of Commander stuff, but today, the day the Wizards season's open, no, we got plenty of Zardoz coverage for you, and no better conversation, not one that I look forward to more every single year. Well, I look forward to the Corey Kispert interview for a different reason, but in terms of substance and really trying to understand what they're doing here as they rebuild, Will Dawkins is the guy. And I talked to Will for a solid 15 minutes, and you will hear that coming up at 6:30, so at this point, just under an hour from now, the last thing you'll hear before we make way for Dave Johnson and Glenn Consor and the Wizards radio team here on the Team 980. When we get back live, normally 5:30 on a Thursday is Never Read the Comments, but we're just going to do an abbreviated version, and so put on our hazmat suits and dive into the deepest, darkest part of the internet next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Doors are opening up here at Capital One Arena as I see folks wearing all kinds of jerseys and all kinds of everything coming in, all kinds of NBA garb as we are here on Wizards opening night. Of course, we are just under an hour from pregame. Oh, my God. Under an hour, 73 minutes if you're counting as I check the clock out there from tip-off here on the Team 980. But right now, it is time for a quick edition on a Thursday before we get to the pick six at 6 and then Will Dawkins at 6:30 for Never Read the Comments.
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, we always start with a comment that just kind of makes us chuckle. And this one made me chuckle, Anthony. This was on our talk about Jaden Daniels' durability yesterday. And James Robinson, 8623, goes, "Who's this dude talking?" He was talking about me, by the way. "Who's this dude talking? Apparently he doesn't know football because the," and by the way, no N-O. There's a lot of typos in here. I'm not going to call him out. I'm not going to play petty grammar games. I'm just going to let everyone know that if I stumble over reading this, it's not because I can't read. It's because this is barely in English. "Who's this dude talking? Apparently he doesn't know football because the Bears D will be the best D that Washington has faced this far. But Mariota is trash, always has been trash. His passes was sloppy the whole game. Yeah, they beat the Panthers with Mariota, but in his NFL career, he's trash. Even if JD playing, it's not going to be a catwalk." First of all, James, the term you're looking for is cakewalk. Second, there's a lot of other terms in here that you're not using the correct ones, but again, I'm not trying to be petty. The reason this made me chuckle, Anthony, is because I just can't imagine going on someone's YouTube page and leaving a comment and being like, "Who's this dude talking?" So I responded with the only logical thing that you should respond with here, Anthony, which is a three-word phrase. Do you know what that three-word phrase is?
Nope.
Google me, bro.
Nah, you really should.
I mean, that's not like a, hey, I don't have like a Wikipedia page or anything. It's not like I'm famous, but just like, if you're wondering who I am, then Google's free and it's one tab over.
Mm-hmm.
That's my new favorite response to people on the internet.
Google
is
bruh.
Free. Google is free and it's one tab over. I just, you know, we used to have shame as a society, and I think that was a good thing. On to the actual substance of it all, and the idea of Jaden Daniels and his durability. And kind of the or what we're going to see this weekend. Guitar Guy 07 says, "The Bears' wins are against the Rams, Jags, Panthers, and Titans. I think we have less of an idea of how good the Bears actually are than the Commanders. I also think the Bears' defensive stats are inflated because of the offenses they face. They're either entirely beatable with either, or they are entirely beatable with Jaden or Marcus at QB. Regardless, I hope Jaden is healthy and we get to see a great game with these two awesome young QBs." I'm very definitely interested in seeing what the Bears can do this weekend because, like, the you know, obviously it gets to the point in the week where I finally get to sit down and watch some tape, and Jaden or Marcus could have a day against this Bears defense, but this Bears defense isn't bad. There's just a lot of air. There's a lot of space, and the other thing that I think is actually more exciting for me about what Washington could do, and again, it could go sideways. They could score 14 points in this game. They could turn the ball over three times. Like, this is by no means a prediction. This is just one of the possible outcomes. They give up a ton of big runs, bro. Like, one of the things I do when I watch tape, I try to see the best, the worst, and the average. So I always start off with just like, what's the last game? Let me watch the first quarter. Let me see how it goes. Let me watch if I have the time. Like, let me go through a couple games worth of first and second down and watch that. Okay, now let me watch you a little bit on third down. You get some of the tendencies and you pick some of that stuff up. But the other thing that I always try to do is watch the turnovers and the sacks, and then I watch the touchdowns. Because I want to know how teams are scoring on you. When teams break through, what is happening? Is it easy, like, hey, okay, we're at the 1 yard line? And there's of course, especially at this point in the season, there's a lot of that for every single team. But Ant, 3 or 4 31, 38, 43-yard touchdown runs. They gave up big explosive runs a lot. And for a team that has been able to get explosive runs in every single game, if I'm Anthony Lynn this week and I'm Cliff Kingsbury this week, I'm like rubbing my hands together excited over some opportunities that may exist against this Bears defense.
Do you think it'll be different if Mariota is the starting quarterback on Sunday? Do you think they'll change their, I guess, their approach in terms of, you know, wanting to stop the run and force Mariota to, you know, beat them from the pocket? Do you think we'll see that?
I don't like the Bears are going to play how they're going to play.
Yeah.
If that answers the question.
Okay.
They don't do, like, one of the things that's really interesting is they don't pressure a lot. Like, they like all four of their defensive linemen are like top 10 or 15 in the league in pass rush win rate at their position. So, like, they got a bunch of dudes that are winning, and they don't really heat guys up a lot. Like, what's his name, Kyler Gordon, their nickel, he'll blitz a little bit, but he might be out. And so I think that when you look at this offense, like what this defense, another thing that's exciting is it's kind of vanilla. Now, that's also terrifying because, like, Dan's old defenses in Seattle were vanilla, but they just killed you every single week because they had the perfect pieces. And Jalen, like, okay, cool, we're playing cover one. Jalen Johnson's man-to-man against your best receiver. That guy's not open. He's one of the best in the league. He's an interception machine. So there's a lot of risk involved in some of that, but can you then get maybe some of the quick game and stuff going with Zach Ertz over the middle? Can you get OZ and Diami on some screens? Like, I think there's just opportunities against this team, but you have to execute at a high level, and that's kind of where I worry about Marcus, is Marcus is just not as sharp as Jaden. He's just not as accurate as Jaden. And so that's my big concern with the drop-off, is the opportunities are going to exist. The run game is still going to be there. There's a lot of the similar offense that you'll see in terms of play call, but it's just not going to be on the passing side executed as well, because Marcus Mariota is not as good as Jaden Daniels, and that's how backups work. But no, will the offense change? No.
Yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah. We're live at Capital One Arena. Very short, quick edition. I've never read the comments today, so we can get to our pick six at six. You want to get your full fix of Joe Witt Jr. and Cliff Kingsbury coming up. Also, I will say, Anthony, there's got to be sushi somewhere. Like, I smell the rice. I smell the fish.
Do you smell the fish, or are you just hungry?
I mean, I had some sushi for lunch, and it wasn't a ton left over from last night. I'm definitely hungry, but I don't know. Like, what are we... I got to figure out what that smell is. I'm hungry and I want whatever they're cooking.
I was about
here.
To say yes.
I'm gonna go figure that out. We're gonna pay some bills and we're gonna come back and we're gonna do our pick six at six. Then coming up at 6:30, Will Dawkins here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.